Welcome to There Is Hope, a program dedicated to getting those trapped in addiction on the road to recovery and living clean and sober lives. The opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of this station, and any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope is the program director of Fairhaven House and the most vulnerable talk show host on Seattle radio, Richard Dover.
Good evening to our radio listeners. Welcome to There Is Hope. There Is Hope is focused on the topics of addiction and recovery. We're not just talking about alcohol or drugs. We're talking about all kinds of addictions like gambling, food, sexual addiction, smoking, or any other addiction or bad habit. What is it that you struggle with? We'll be talking about that. We want you to know there is hope. You can overcome addictions. You can live a victorious life. This show is about sharing concepts that will help you in recovery, sharing stories of those who have been set free from addictions. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about mindsets, what we think and believe. Both my wife, Carmen, and I shared some of our own struggles we've had in regards to wrong thinking. We talked about how a person must change the way they think if they want to walk in recovery. The Bible calls that renewing the mind. If you'd like to listen to previous broadcasts, we have them on our website. It's thereishoperadio.org. That website address again is thereishoperadio.org. Along with an archive of all of our previous There Is Hope broadcasts, we have a variety of other resources. On tonight's broadcast of There's Hope, we're going to be talking about the biblical principles that can be found in the 12 steps of AA. As we do this, we also be sharing the Christian version of the 12 steps. So if you'd like to talk about the 12 steps, you have your own viewpoints, your own thoughts on it, be sure to give us a call. We would love to be able to talk with you. If you're not familiar with the 12 steps, you can go online right now and read what they are. You go to thereishoperadio.org and click on the 12 steps. Again, go to thereishoperadio.org and click on the 12 steps. We have the 12 steps of AA, and we have the Christian 12 steps. So I encourage you, if you don't know what they are, you can take a look at that as we share on the radio here with you. And I don't think in this broadcast we'll be able to cover all the 12 steps. We'll see how far we get. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the 12 steps, and I want to make it clear to our radio audience, we're not talking about AA or Alcoholics Anonymous. We're talking about the 12 steps of AA. At some point in time, we will talk about AA. I know that we have Christian listeners here that maybe have a struggle with Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, or any kind of anonymous. You may have a struggle with some of the 12 steps. If that's the case, give us a call. Tell us where you have that struggle, what you feel is unbiblical or challenging for you when it comes to the 12 steps. But I want to say, if you're going to make your comments, there's one thing we ask of you. Be sure that you know what the 12 steps are. If you say, I dislike the 12 steps, and you haven't any idea of what the 12 steps are, how can you make your comments? Let me give you an example. Somebody might say, I don't like mustard greens. Now, probably half of our listener audience has probably never even tasted mustard greens. So when you say you don't like mustard greens, is it because of what somebody else has said? Is it because of somebody else's experience? Or have you actually cooked some up and tasted them? The reality is, again, most of our audience would say, mustard greens? Why would I want to try that? Well, let's give another example. Maybe you say, I don't like football. I don't like watching football. Well, have you ever watched a single game of football? I know for myself, I'm not a sports person. I really don't like most sports. I'd rather be doing something else differently. But I found if I go to a Mariners game, that I might not get into it. And all of a sudden, when there's a home run, I'm just as excited as everybody else. Well, that's what happens sometimes when it comes to other things. We have a viewpoint. We have an opinion. But we really haven't taken the time to really study it out and learn more about it. So again, I want to say to our audience, we won't be talking about Alcoholics Anonymous specifically. That's, again, we will be talking about that. We'll be talking about AA and recovery, and as a Christian, what is a Christian? How does a Christian handle some of the AA concepts? So that's, again, another discussion. Tonight, again, we're talking about the 12 steps of AA, and then we're going to cover the Christian version of them. So let's go ahead and get to step one. So I'm going to read to you. What I'm going to do is each of these steps, I'll read to you the what we would say the AA version of it is, and then a Christian version of it. So step one, first step is, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. The Christian version is almost the exact same thing. It just adds a couple of things to it. I guess I should mention that with AA, they've had the same 12 steps for, I'm not quite sure, I can't remember the year when AA started, but they have never changed those 12 steps. And then they're used for a variety of areas. So the AA 12-step says powerless over alcohol, but an individual can go to Narcotics Anonymous, they can go to Overeaters Anonymous, they can go over to even Sexual Addiction Anonymous, and their steps are going to be the same, and they just replace that one word. But AA has a position that the steps aren't adapted or changed, just the concept can be used for different areas. So the Christian version of the first step is, we admitted that we had become powerless over alcohol or the substance we had abused. In other words, we were an alcoholic or a substance abuser, and their lives were unmanageable. Step one would be applicable to any addiction, not just limited to alcohol or drugs. Actually, it would be applicable even to more than just addictions. It could be a bad habit or a sinful behavior. Whatever it may be that has control of your life, it has made your life unmanageable. So what is it? I want you to think about it. We're going to take a break here in just a moment here, but I want you to be thinking for a moment. Is there an area of your life that has become unmanageable? Is there some type of substance, a person, a place, a thing, whatever it may be, that you feel you're powerless over? Maybe you have codependency where you're dependent upon others, people's approval, and you're powerless over that. You live your whole life wanting acceptance from other people. You're willing to sacrifice. You want to give up everything you own so you can get approval from others. That would be an addiction. That may be something that's caused your life to become unmanageable. So as we go to break, I want to just ask of you, do you have your own comments about step one? How does step one work in your own recovery? Are you struggling with the concept of step one? Maybe you're struggling with, am I really powerless?
We'll be back with more There Is Hope with Richard Dover after this on 820 AM KGNW.
Well, welcome back to There Is Hope. We were just talking about step one of the 12 steps. Again, it is states, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Their lives have become unmanageable. If we're honest, the truth is that none of us is capable of managing our own life without God, whether we have an addiction or not. We may be deceived into thinking we can. I have to say for myself, I certainly was deceived when I was living life as an atheist. Everything on the surface looked like I was doing well, looked like I had everything under control. However, there were deep flaws in my life, and I did not realize they were there. And actually, until I became a Christian, I had no idea they were there. When I became a Christian, all of a sudden, my whole life fell apart as God decided he wanted to reveal to me those areas that needed to be changed so I could be a person who allowed God to work in my life instead of taking control of my own life. So you may be saying, I'm not sure if this is applicable to my own life. I'm not sure if I'm powerless over anything. That may be the case, but listen to what the Bible talks about all of us. In Romans 3:10, it says, there is none righteous, not even one. So if we're going to be honest, none of us are totally righteous. We all have sin in our life. We all fall short. We all have things that may take control, bad habits that be in our life. So in reality, step one, to an extent, could be applied to every single one of us. In Romans 3:23, it states, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I know for myself, I certainly fall short of the glory of God. When I look at how Jesus was, the example he set for us, he set an example of how each of us to live, then all of us would have to say, you know what, we're nowhere close to how Jesus lived his own life. And so I think that if we're real honest, all of us could say, we fall short of the glory of God. In Proverbs 14:12, it states, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Boy, is that applicable to those who have addictions. They can get so caught in addiction that they go down a path that they're absolutely convinced is the right way to go, and yet that path is leading them to destruction. Maybe that's your case. Are you going down a road that you're trying to convince yourself it's okay, it's all right, but you know deep in your heart it's a road of destruction? Maybe you just started an addiction. Maybe you just started a food addiction. Maybe you just got onto alcohol. We may have somebody that's listening that's very young, and maybe there's things going on in your home right now, and the way that you find the way to deal with it is go to alcohol or drugs. Maybe you're going to marijuana, whatever it may be. Maybe you're going to food. Maybe you're going to pornography. Maybe you're addicted to Facebook. That the reality is there's individuals that spend 8 hours a day on Facebook. Do you know that if you're spending 8 hours a day on Facebook, that is an addiction? And that the reality is are you distancing yourself from individuals? Are you trying to hide? Are you trying to run from your problems? then maybe step one's for you. Listen to what Jesus said. In John 8:34, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." I have a question for you. Is that true? Is that when you're walking sin, do you become a slave to that sin? I'd ask you to think about it for a moment. Whatever it is that habit that you have in your life, can you quit it? Can you honestly quit it? Can you just right now say, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore? Maybe your habit is a simple thing is you get in the car and you look at, you just got to go 80 miles an hour on the freeway. You say, hey, that's not addiction. That's not a problem. Well, it's a problem if you're going 80 miles an hour every day and the next thing you know, you get into an accident. Next thing you know, you get a ticket. The next thing you know, something happens that you never plan on happening, because that's what happens when we caught up into some behaviors that are not good for us. We find ourselves doing things that we never thought we would do. I can't remember how many over the years of addicts that I've talked to. They may have been a heroin addict. When they started out, almost all of them never started with heroin. They may have just started with just marijuana and said, you know what, I'll never go further than that. But when the reality is that we become a slave to sin. So for the alcoholic or the addict, they must first acknowledge that they need help. They need to acknowledge they are powerless over their addiction. And to be honest, that's one of the hardest steps for a person who has an addiction, because they get convinced in their mind they can quit any time. And yet, if they're honest, they never do quit. They never take that steps. They may say, I'm going to get in detox tomorrow. I'm going to get in detox next week. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But the reality is when you're powerless, you are powerless. You have no control. So what usually happens for the addict is they have to hit their bottom. I'm sure almost every listener here has heard the term hitting bottom. And so for most, they have to hit their bottom, which means their life becomes totally unmanageable. And what happens is when their life becomes totally unmanageable, maybe it's the loss of a job, it's the loss of a spouse, is that their children run away from home because of their addiction. Whatever it may be, they realize their life has become unmanageable, and they're finally humble enough to admit they have an addiction and they're powerless over it. I have a question for you. How about you? Have you hit bottom yet? I want to share something with you. Did you know that you can choose where your bottom is at? Too many people believe a lie that in order to hit bottom, they got to lose everything they have. But the reality is you have a free will. You have a choice in your life. You can choose where your bottom's at. You can choose when your wife says, I'm going to separate from you unless you get help. That could be your bottom. Sad to say, for many, it's going to take the wife leaving and divorcing them. It may take the wife leaving and divorcing them getting married again, they're divorced again, getting married again, getting divorced again before they hit their bottom. But the truth is, you really can choose your bottom. You can choose when the employer says, if you don't get help, we're going to have to let you go. Whatever it may be, you have a choice. You don't have to lose your house. You don't have to lose your family. You don't have to lose your job or your friends. You don't have to have a car wreck. You don't have to get a DUI. You don't have to be suicidal. Instead, you can just be humble enough to say, I am an alcoholic. I am a prescription pill addict. Whatever it may be, here's what I ask of you. I actually plead with you. If your life has become unmanageable, would you be willing to admit that your life has become absolutely consumed with that addiction? That the reality is you are powerless over that addiction. Again, I would plead with you. If you have an addiction, please get some help. You can go to our website for a variety of resources. We have a list of detoxes. We have a list of treatment centers. We have tools that are available there. We have information that's available to help you. Go to the website, thereishoperadio.org. That website, again, is thereishoperadio.org. I want to encourage you, get the help that you need. If you're wondering if you have an addiction or not, give us a call. Ask some questions. Share your own struggle. Maybe you've gotten the victory. Maybe you've gone through step one and you know that you are an addict. You know that you have an addiction and you're on the road to recovery. Share how you made that decision. Maybe share where your bottom was at and what got you to finally take a look to get help.
Time to take a break. We'll be back with more There Is Hope with Richard Dover.
Well, welcome back to There Is Hope. Tonight we've been talking about the 12 steps of AA. We've already discussed step one. We're going to be talking about step two in just a moment. But I wanted to share something with you as you listen to the radio spots that we have. Victory Life Center Church is a church that I attend. I'm actually the outreach pastor there. And I want to give a plug for the church that the reality is every person who's struggling with addiction, there's a variety of ways for them to have a recovery in their life. Each of individual makes a choice. What works best for them? Some it is Alcoholics Anonymous. Some is Narcotics Anonymous. Others is going to a treatment center like the center that has Dr. Jans as the founder of the center. By the way, Dr. Jans is going to be on the air next week. We're going to be interviewing Dr. Jans. He's going to be sharing his whole person approach to counseling. Dr. Jans is a person that believes that every area of a person's life needs to be worked on in order to be able to walk in victory. So he addresses the issues of physical things, that there is certain people that have different health issues that they need to address in order to have recovery. He talks about relationships, how they can affect recovery. He also talks about the emotional, mental areas of our life. And then Dr. Jans also covers the spiritual area of our lives. So if you're in need of recovery, maybe the center's for you. But going back to Victory Life Center, we're a church that believes in Jesus and the power of the gospel and that individuals' lives can be changed, that God can set you free. And I could share story after story. We've had some of the individuals on the air. We're going to have others whose lives have been changed through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have come to a realization that Jesus was the answer for their recovery. We're actually going to be going to step three in a moment. And when we go to step three, we'll talk more about that higher power. But let's go to step two. So step two states, in AA it states, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I want to share with you, in order for a person to obtain victory over an addiction, they have to come to the realization that they are powerless and come to believe that there must be a power beyond themselves that can restore them to soundness of mind. A person controlled by addiction does not think straight. They have stinking thinking like we've talked about in previous broadcasts. Everything in their life is seen through the lens of their addiction. They become irrational. They become deceived, confused. Maybe that's describing you. I don't know. Well, the first thing you need to do is you go back to step one, admit that you're powerless. Then you go to step two, and that's that you came to believe that there's a power to restore you back to sanity. There is hope. You may be powerless, but there is a power that can restore you back to sanity. What that power may be for you may be different for me, but here's what the Bible says in regards to step two. In John 11:25, Jesus said to the woman, "I am the resurrection and the life." Those in addiction certainly need a power that will give them life and resurrect them from the pit of addiction. Jesus says he is that life. Jesus says he is the one that can resurrect you from the pit of addiction. In John 7:37, it says, "If a man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Are you thirsty for a power that can restore you back to sanity? Jesus can certainly fill that thirst. In Isaiah 1:18, it says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Is your life and circumstances stained because of your addiction? God can certainly clean up the mess. So let me share with you the Christian version of step two. It's came to believe that through Jesus Christ, we could be restored to right relationship with God the Father. And subsequently, we gain sanity and stability in our lives. As a Christian, I believe that Jesus Christ is a power that restores us into right relationship with God and brings stability in our life. I absolutely believe that Jesus is the answer to the bondage of addictions. Through Jesus, a person can live a victorious life. However, I understand that there may be others that are listening. You may not be at that place yet. You may be a person that was like me, that was an atheist, and so for you to even acknowledge that there could be another power out there may be hard for you. My challenge to you is to realize that whatever that power is that you're looking to, that you need to find something besides yourself. You need to go beyond yourself for the answer. I would encourage you to go on a God hunt. Look and see who that God is out there in the universe. Again, maybe you're an atheist. You don't even believe in a God. Are you open to the fact that when you're in the midst of your addiction, that maybe you're going to have to start looking and saying, maybe, just maybe, there's something out there besides myself because I can't do it on my own. I haven't been able to have victory on my own. I want you to know there is a way out of your addiction. It is first acknowledging that you have an addiction. The second step is to acknowledge that you need a higher power to get you out of your addiction. I personally believe that higher power is Jesus Christ. This third step to get out of addiction is you need to turn your life over to that higher power. In just a moment, we're going to be talking about that third step.
More There Is Hope coming up with host Richard Dover.
Welcome back to There Is Hope. Tonight, we've been talking about the 12 steps of AA. In just a moment, we'll be talking about step 3. But I want to focus a little bit more on steps 1 and 2 for those that are listening, that maybe you're still wondering if you really have a struggle or not. You're wondering if you really have an addiction. You're wondering really if it's that serious. I'm going to play a little clip to you that maybe gets you to think about your life for a moment. So let's listen to this clip.
That devil just won't let me forget. That devil just won't let me forget. That devil just won't let me forget. That devil just won't let me forget.
Does it sound like a broken record to you?
That devil just won't let me forget.
What's that broken record in your own life? What is there the devil won't let you forget? What is it that he reminds you over and over again because you keep doing the same things over and 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 over again? The reality is, if the devil won't let you forget, if you have a voice that's telling you in your mind and your heart that, you know what, you're just never going to make it, you just can't get the victory, then that's a sign that you have addiction. And so maybe it's time to be at a place where you can say, I need to turn my life over to a higher power. And that is the next step. Step 3 is, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Again, that step is, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. For a person to experience recovery, they have to acknowledge their powerless over their addiction. They need to acknowledge they need a power greater than themselves to restore them back to sanity, and then they need to turn their will and life over to the care of God. Now, let's be honest. We have a lot of listeners that are Christians that are listening, and we have some individuals that are listening that are non-Christians. The non-Christians can have no struggle whatsoever when they hear turn our life over to the care of God as we understood Him. The non-Christians say, well, I have my own understanding of God, and that's working for me. But for Christians, when they hear that step, turn the care of my life over to God as we understood Him, many Christians have a real struggle with that. The Christians will argue, and it's a good argument. Listen to their argument. Their Christians may say, well, it doesn't do a person any good if they see God as a tree or as a doorknob or some entity out there, someplace, somewhere. You know, nature is my source of power. I would agree. It's a waste of time to turn your will over to a doorknob or to a tree. It's a waste of time to turn your life over to something that's not real. And so I would agree with Christians that say, you know what, that step needs to be adapted. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk for a moment. We're going to talk about that step as far as a Christian. But I want to talk about that step for non-Christians. So maybe you don't believe in God. You're an atheist. So you don't believe in Jesus. Here's a reality. If you're in the midst of addiction, most likely you're self-centered. Most likely you're me-focused. What step 3 does is to help you get focus outside of yourself. We must remember that with AA, the purpose is not to get people saved, to get them born again, to get them in the church, get them to be Christians. The purpose of AA is to help people to stop their addiction. So for some, there's no way that they're going to turn their lives over to Jesus Christ because they don't even believe in God. So what happens to them? Are they left hanging? Are they just out there and there's no hope for them? Almost some Christians come across as that would be the case. If you don't turn your life over to Jesus right now, there's no hope for you. But the reality is I've worked with individuals over the years that I realize that some, they need some stepping stones before they come to a place of allowing Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life. So I believe the AA concept, to turn your life over to a power, whatever that power may be, it's a start. It's a stepping stone. The reality, again, some people aren't going to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, but they're ready to acknowledge that they need something more to get them out of their addiction. Here's what I know. There's many people who have come to know Jesus Christ, their higher power, through AA. Over a period of time, they realized that that higher power that they had wasn't good enough for them. They realized that whatever that entity, that object, that thing that they were looking to for power wasn't enough for them. So they got serious about recovery, and they went on a God hunt. They went around looking for God and say, you know what, God, if you're real, I need you right now. God, if you're out there, I need you to come into my life. I need you to help me. I need you to give me the strength to make it through this addiction. Out of that, they ultimately found Jesus Christ. However, I can say this. If they were to be forced to accept Jesus as their higher power at the beginning, I don't believe they'd ever come to Christ. You can't force Christianity on people. You can't force Jesus on people. It's only something the Spirit of God does. So what we can do as Christians, we can offer and say, we believe that higher power is Jesus Christ, but we need to allow individuals to walk their own road of recovery and realize that God is more than capable of getting into a relationship with Jesus. Realize again, the purpose of the 12 steps is not to get people born again, is not to get people into heaven. The purpose of the 12 steps is to help people to get the victory over their addiction. So I have a question for you. If you're already a Christian and you're struggling with addiction, then are you allowing Jesus to be the Lord of your life? Are you allowing Jesus to manage your life? Here's the Christian version of step 3. I made the decision to turn from the things of the past and invite Jesus to be Lord and manager of my life. So I have a question for you. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian that's struggling with addiction? Then certainly take that Christian step 3 and apply it to your own life, that you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, that you want Jesus to manage your life. But I have to tell you something. Here's a reality. There are Christians that are listening to me. You've been maybe a Christian for years. You don't have an addiction. You're not struggling with alcohol or drugs or pornography or other types of addictions. And you say, I'm doing fine. Well, I have a question. Are you doing fine? Has Jesus really been the Lord of your life? Are you really allowing Jesus to manage your life? I wonder how many who have a struggle with the AA step 3 are applying the Christian step 3 in their life. That are you struggling with habits? Are you struggling with sinful behavior? The Bible talks about that sin nature. It talks about that struggle. Maybe it's a sin that easily entangles you. So the question is, have you taken step 3? There are those who say it's only one step. It's from darkness to light. Well, I agree with that. I believe one step to heaven is from darkness to light. But I believe for recovery, it takes more than accepting Jesus. It's called walking it out. It's called sanctification. It's talking about making choices every single day. If we're quick to say, well, I only need one step and I'll be all right, the danger is that we don't address the issues that we have in our life. We don't address those things in the past that we need to deal with that keep controlling our life. I believe in Jesus Christ. We do have victory. I believe in Jesus Christ. He has covered every sin of the past. I believe in that because of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus, all of our sins are covered. But at the same time, over and over again, over the years, working with multitudes of individuals, working with many, many Christians, I cannot say how many Christians will say it's only one step, but yet they keep repeating the same sins over and over and over and over again. And my argument would be, is they have not made the choice, they have not made the decision to allow Jesus Christ to really truly be the Lord and manager of their lives. What we're going to do is we're going to take a moment here and just look at this step 3 again. It says, made the decision to turn from the things of the past and invite Jesus to be the Lord and manager of our lives. What I want to do is I'm going to play a song. I call it Take Over. I want to play that song and then ask yourself as you listen to that song, have you allowed Jesus to take over your life?
I tried to run, I tried to fight you, I'm down, I'm giving up, I've learned to trust you, your love, now I'm singing, can you take over? I'm
So are you allowing God to take over? Are you willing to take over your life? That each of us have to make that decision if we're allowing God to take over. I know for myself, it is very hard at times. It's a challenge at times to really allow God to take over every area of our life. For an addict, that's even harder. You have an addict that they've been trusting in their drugs. They've been trusting in their alcohol. They've been trusting in the food. They've been trusting in the having sex every night, every day, with as many partners as they can find, that they're trying to fill that hole. Whatever that addiction may be, there has to become a point where you have to allow God to take over, to truly take over your life. Where we're going to go to now is step four. Step four is that we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of our lives. What we did is we made the choice that we're going to allow God to take over our life. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, is going to turn around and he's going to put a spotlight on some areas of our life that need to change. Now, I'll tell you something. That is probably one of the hardest steps for addicts to go through. They've spent their whole life hiding from the past. They've spent their whole life hiding from the things that they have done. They've used the alcohol, drugs, or whatever addiction to just to bury everything they can bury that they can think of that causes them pain, that causes them misery, those thoughts that come back, those regrets, that bitterness, that anger, that unforgiveness. They go to their drug of choice to cover that up. And yet step four is made a searching and fearless moral inventory of our lives. In many treatment centers, what they have is each individual that goes through the treatment center, maybe in like a 90-day program, they go through the steps. Normally what happens, they go to step four, and after step four, that person leaves treatment. And I cannot tell you how many people who leave treatment get out, and they'll go right back to their addiction again. And the reason why is because they could not deal with that step four. They could not deal with making a searching and moral inventory of their life. Now, I have a belief that the reason that is because if you don't have God in your life, if you're looking to, again, a doorknob, I'm sure most aren't looking to a doorknob. They're looking for something greater than that, as a higher power. But if you're not going to God, and if you're not going to the God that loves you, how can you do a fearless moral inventory of your life? I mean, even as a Christian, to be able to be honest and to look at our life and look at the sins, look at the mistakes that we've done, it's a hard thing to do. I don't understand how an individual can do that without God. In Psalms 139, 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." Here's a reality. God knows what's going on. He knows what we've done. He knows what's happened to us, what we've done with others. He knows everything if he's God, and yet he still loves us. And for many addicts, they have a hard time believing that God loves them, that he cares for them. So if you don't know if God loves you, how can you say, "Search me, O God, test me, and know my thoughts"? There's just no way to be able to do that if you don't know there's a loving God out there. So I want to share something with you. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home that was very rigid, a home that you were taught that if you do one thing wrong, God's out there to get you. Maybe you've lived with fear. I'm not talking about a fear that's a godly fear of God. I'm not talking about a fear that gives God reverence and awe. I'm talking about a fear where you have a fear that any moment God's out to get you. Every time something bad happens to you, you believe that it must be God punishing you. I want to let you know something. There's no way that our loving God, who sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross for mine and your sins, there's no way that God is out to beat you up, to harm you, to cause damage in your life. Now, yes, there are consequences. When we sin, when we do things that are wrong, when we're caught in addiction, there are consequences with addiction. Those consequences just come out of a fallen world and the fact that if you drive and drink, you may get pulled over, you may get a ticket, you may get arrested. But the reality is most of our consequences is, again, because of us. It's not because of God out to punish us. I have a story to share with you. Some think God's out there with a baseball bat. They think he's there ready to beat them up any moment. I want you to think about this story. There's a father. He has a son that's 3 years old, lives in Alaska. The way that they heat their house is through wood, through firewood. So the father says to the three-year-old, go outside and chop some wood to put in the fireplace. Son goes outside. What is he going to do? Can he chop wood? Absolutely not. There is no way that son is going to be able to chop wood. But he may try to pick up the hatchet and play with it. Hopefully he doesn't pick up the axe because he could hurt himself. But he struggles the best he can because he loves his father. He wants to do what his father says. But he can't do it. He can't chop the wood. And his father comes out, screams and yells at him and saying, you're a rotten, terrible son. I can't believe that you're not doing what I say. He beats on his son, drags him back in the house and says, I just hate you because you didn't do what I told you. What would you think about that father? You would say that was a horrific father, a terrible father. Some of you maybe had a father like that. That may be why you're going to addictions, is because you had a father like that. But when you think of that father, you'd say that's an unjust father. Well, some of you think that God, the Heavenly Father, is the same way. You think that he tells you, don't drink, don't drug, don't do this or that, and he's not there to help you, he's there to condemn you. That's not a loving Heavenly Father. That's an evil father. That's not what God is like. He's caring, he's loving, and he has sent his Son to be able to give us strength. He's given his Holy Spirit to us to give us strength. So I'm going to encourage you, if you've struggled with doing that fearless moral inventory in your life, I would encourage you to be going to God and say, God, you're my higher power. I need your help. I need your strength. I need you to help me to be able to do that moral inventory. I need your help to be able to take a look at those things in my life, that destruction that has came there. Now, here's that somebody may be saying, why? Why step four? Why do we have to look in the past? Can't we just forget about the past? Just move on. Well, here's the reality. If you don't deal with your past, if you don't address those issues, if you don't, what the Bible calls, repent, then what will happen, that past will continue to be repeated over and over and over again. So I'm going to encourage you, take that moral inventory. As a Christian, take that moral inventory. Now, I want to tell you something else. Once you do that and you apply some of the other steps, then it's time to move on. Let it go. Too many people get stuck in the past. They wear a badge that says, I live in the past. You know what I'm talking about. All they do is talk about all those things that happened to them, all the bad tragedies in their life, over and over. They repeated it over and over again. That's not what that step is talking about. You're going to find that when you go to the next step, that you're going to admit what you've done. And then the sixth step is you're going to ask God to remove all those defects of character. So what is it that you're struggling with? What is it that you've used as an excuse for drinking and drugging? Because most likely that's what it is. There's something that's happened in the past, something you've done or something that somebody else has done, and you're using that as a reason to drug and drink or whatever that addiction may be. So I have a challenge for you. Will you look at those things? Will you address them? Then do step five, which is admit to yourself, to another human being, the exact nature of your wrongs. What that is that's confession. So it's confession. It's confessing what you've done. It's being honest. You say, why do I need to do that? Why do I need to talk to somebody else about that? Here's the reason why. Things that are in the dark, that are hidden, are not really hidden, and sooner or later they come out. They're exposed. And things that are in darkness keep you into bondage. But when they get out in front of the light, they don't have that hold anymore. I know an individual. He's actually going to be on the radio show here. Probably take him about a month or two before he gets enough guts to do it. But I know an individual who has had a horrific life. I mean, it's absolutely, I mean, when you hear it, it's just tragedy after tragedy. And you won't even believe his stories as he shared. You say, how can a person live through what he went through? And here's something for him that he's had to do. He's had to face those things, look at those things, and be willing to move beyond them and get them out in the light. He's afraid to. He's afraid to share those struggles that he's had. But I can tell you this. I absolutely believe when he shares those things, some of the stuff in the past, he's worried that people are going to judge him. He's worried that people are going to condemn him. But the reality is there's people who love him. And as they hear his past stories and what he went through and some of the things he's done, they're going to wrap his arms around him and love him and encourage him and strengthen him. You know, as you go to somebody to confess your wrongs, don't pick somebody that's going to use it against you. Pick somebody that's going to be in your life that loves you, that cares about you. Step six, We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. What step six is really about repenting. It's about turning away. It's about allowing God to forgive you for what you've done. And so Acts 3:19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord." I want to read that again. "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord." You know, when you repent, when you change the direction you're going, when you're willing to say, "God, I need your forgiveness. I want you to truly take over my life. I give you this sin that I've done. I give you this addiction," whatever it may be, and you turn it over to Him, that there is a refreshing that will come. That doesn't mean you're going to necessarily have victory right off the bat. The reality is for some, it's a journey to be able to get the victory. But here's one thing. You can start finding some peace when you give all those things to God. Give them all to Him. I'm going to go to step seven, but before I do that, I just want to remind you again, this is a live talk show. We encourage you to give us a call. What step are you at in your life? What step do you struggle with? Do you even believe in the steps? Maybe all that I've shared, you still say, "I don't believe in that. I think that's all crazy. I still think it's just one step, that you come from darkness into light." I'd encourage you, give us a call, 1-800-955-8200. That number again is 1-800-955-8200. Maybe you're in Seattle. Local number is 206-374-8800. That's 206-374-8800. So let's go to step seven. By the way, I should mention this. I didn't think about this. I should have mentioned to you. Maybe you don't know what the steps are. You're wondering about all this. You can go to our website and be able to look at the 12 steps. You can see the AA 12 steps, the Christian 12 steps. You can see the Bible verses that's applicable to those steps. So you can go to thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org and click on the 12 steps. Also, maybe by now you're saying, "I need to get help. I really need to do something in my life." If that's the case, go to our website. There's links to detox. There's links to treatment centers. We have help there. It'd be just crazy for us to have a show called There Is Hope without giving you some hope, without giving you resources for hope. So check that website out again, thereishoperadio.org. So step seven, and what I'm doing is I'm reading to you the Christian steps at this point. Step seven is humbly ask God to remove all our shortcomings and to forgive us, believing and receiving. So what this step is we've repented, we've confessed and repented, we're turning around, we want to do something different, and then we're asking God to forgive us. Well, here's a key. How can you practice step seven if you don't believe in a God? How can you practice step seven if your hope is in a tree for your greater power? So it's obviously that you need to have something larger and bigger than yourself, larger and bigger than something you can see on this earth, that you need a resource out there that is all-powerful, that's all-knowing, that's all-loving. And that, I believe, is God, who reflects Himself through Jesus Christ. So humbly ask Jesus to remove all your shortcomings and to forgive you and believe and receive. Why does it say believe and receive? Because many struggle with forgiveness. Many struggle with the fact that God could forgive them, that how could God forgive me with the things I've done?